Hey, this is Alan C. Gardner from Bad Bad Men, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Welcome back to Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 265, and I am Kevin.
I'm Gavin McLeod.
I'm Daniel. I haven't prepared anything.
I'm Doug.
And an intern.
A.K.A. Gopher.
Yes, definitely
Gopher. Gopher pizza? Sure, we'll go for pizza.
Yeah, no. You're Daniel Gopher.
And Daniel's Julie.
I'll be Washington.
I'm Julie.
And Doug is Doc.
Oh, is this Love Boat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll catch up eventually.
I guess Daniel hasn't come aboard yet.
No, I'm born in 94. As TV shows from what, the 70s?
Was Julie's replacement? The kid, Steubing's kid that replaces Julie.
That wasn't her replacement. That was just like his kid.
Spoilers?
No. She replaces Julie later on in the show. That is his kid.
Okay.
So, Kevin, crazy things have been going on, like, in the world. Like, nuts.
Like what?
Somebody actually got a shot, we know.
Yes, we're moving into the post-pandemic era.
Yay! Right? Huh.
Would you like to talk about your experiences?
Well, sure, if you want me to. This is actually something that asthma did good for me. I actually was prioritized for the COVID-19 vaccine, so that made me super happy. And the fact that it happened through the state of New Jersey government, they made it really easy, not compared to the horror stories I'm hearing in other states like Pennsylvania or New York. I'm very happy with the way it was rolled out here, so... I'm thrilled.
I would love to tell you I'm happy with the way it's been rolled out in Canada, but I haven't seen anything rolled out.
Yeah.
One person I know got vaccinated today.
Oh, so there you go. One person. I do know one person's been vaccinated. Actually, I know two people. I lie.
I know, like, friends of friends that have been vaccinated. My aunt got vaccinated.
I know one person.
So, Doug, anything going on in the news world since people are going back to the theaters, people are going back to hockey games, and so we're bringing back the news after a year?
Well, I have two going here. We could either start with the world of Marvel or go over to their competition in DC. Where do you guys want to go?
Go to Marvel.
Kevin?
Go ahead. Both are good.
Yep. All right, we'll start with Marvel then. We have a title and release date for the third Spider-Man film, which is going to be Spider-Man No Way Home, coming this Christmas.
Hey.
And I'm saying if it's coming out this Christmas, I will eat my hat. There's no way they're going to release it. They still have to put out Black Widow. They still have to put out Eternals, plus all the other studios with all their other movies coming out. I honestly don't think it'll come out Christmas.
So I think it will because it's a Sony release and Sony wants money. So the shooting it wraps up, I think, next week. So I know that Sony does have actually, it's not Sony that does Bond. So they need that Spider-Man release.
I think I'm going to like this. So, I just read who's in it.
But what about, like, the competition from, like, isn't Dune supposed to be coming out the same time of year?
So Dune is supposed to come out in October.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So theaters in L.A. start opening next month, is my understanding. So they're looking, hopefully, to continue with Black Widow with the May release date, but they may do the online streaming to match. But we'll see, because Black Widow has to come out, unfortunately. There's too much at stake at this point. You know, WandaVision wraps next week, and Falcon starts in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then Black Widow has to come out, and then Loki and Shang-Chi comes out in July. So all these things have to hit their targets.
What about Eternals? When's Eternals coming?
November.
And what? November. What's happening with that What If TV show?
Coming out on Disney Plus in August, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, they're making up for 2020 being lost.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I like the memes. of them trying to name Spider-Man. Just
yes,
all the jokes with that. That's pretty good.
Well, they announced three fake titles, essentially, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's pretty exciting. There's lots on the go, I think, with Marvel stuff. Plus, so there's also Morbius. And there is Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
Right.
So all of these movies are supposed to come out this year. Will they all come out? I don't know. I think Morbius may be delayed to 2022. But
I just think there's too much competition for all these big spectacle films to come out at around the same time.
Well, if we're all out of the house at that point, we may be starving for things to do. So this, maybe they're anticipating this huge bounce back. If we're allowed to go to movie theaters and we're all vaccinated, I don't know. They're maybe being too optimistic.
Yeah. If one movie gets buried, I feel like it could be Carnage. Just because, I mean, I love that character and I hadn't even heard that it was coming out so soon.
Oh, yeah.
I think Morbius would be buried. That's the
one. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though it has Jared Leto, who I believe, is he in part of that DC news, or is he?
Not the DC news I have.
Oh, okay.
I was going to go with, we found out that J.J. Abrams is going to produce a Ta-Nehisi Coates-written Superman movie. Mm-hmm. The rumors are that it will be starring a black Superman. We don't know if that's Calvin Ellis or Val Zod. That kind of disappointed me a little bit. I wasn't looking forward to seeing Ta-Nehisi Coates being relegated to just being the black writer. I wanted to see him take on Kal-El. I think he's doing an amazing job writing Captain America for Marvel Comics right now.
Yep.
So I wanted to see him take on the Icon.
I'll be honest, I'm kind of disappointed because I think that we need another Cavill Superman movie. And if you were going to do a black Superman movie, why not do Icon from the Milestone? Yes. So disappointing on that front. But we'll see. You know, another reboot, just what we all want.
And right? Coates is a fantastic writer, so... I have faith in him.
Yep.
And another Superman show just premiered, right? Superman and Lois?
Yeah, Superman and
Lois. I've seen it.
I saw it.
I PVR'd it. I haven't seen it yet, so shh.
Bob told me about it. I have not watched it.
Okay. I guess we're moving on into our review section of the evening. And it's kind of a nomad land out there.
Yeah, Nomadland, directed by Chloe Zhao, starring Frances McDormand, David Strathairn, Swanky, and a lot of other real-life nomads.
Really? Real-life nomads?
I think so. I mean, I just took a look at a bunch of the cast list, and it was their first acting roles, so I just assumed.
Yeah, it said on IMDb that it was their real, they just nomadle around.
Oh, God. Well...
just real life people.
Since this is my number two on last year's list, I guess I should go first.
I think you should go first.
I love this film. This is what I, shockingly, I really enjoyed this. I did not like her film, The Rider, just didn't really do much for me. But I think Frances McDormand gets it. And I think the way, I really believe she is who she's supposed to be. I like how she goes from place to place getting jobs. She seems to try to work all the time. And I just like her. I really believe this is what she does. I love the characters in this film. Absolutely love the people she meets. I find they all seem real. I find they all, not saying they lack direction, but they seem to know a purpose, what they want to do. They all seem to have survival skills. And I learned a lot watching this film. I mean, the squat in the bucket, how to change a tire, how to do all this stuff is in this film. And how, even when you're down and out, like Frances McDormand, her character is still trying, has not give up. Even when she has a sense of purpose, she could have stayed with that guy. And she says, no, I don't want this life. I like doing what I'm doing. So I think I got something to look forward to from this one. I think this was I definitely thought this was an improvement over first film. And I like to see where it goes. I mean, I think this is a stellar watch. I don't think there's a lot to talk about in this film. I mean, it's beautiful, picturesque. It's well acted. And I loved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I could tell you where Chloe Zhao's going. She's going to Marvel and she's doing The Eternals.
Yeah.
And apparently they're very happy, is what I'm hearing. That Eternals is really something else. So,
well, it should. I mean, she blew me away with this movie. She blew me away with Nomadland. I want to give all the credit to Frances McDormand because she was so amazing. But the directing and everything here, I do think that Chloe Zhao actually does show her work, does show the effort here. This was a beautiful film to look at, not just watch the actors perform. I think Chloe Zhao is definitely a young filmmaker to keep an eye on for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really enjoyed it as well. I thought the film looked fantastic. Frances McDormand. So she and who's the other? It's David Strathairn. Yeah. Strathairn, since he's a main actor. They were the only familiar faces in the film. But it really showed, I mean, there's a class of society where people are just escaping from responsibility and hopping in vans and driving across the country and just trying to avoid family and friends and responsibilities and relationships, and something has driven them to run away from stability, which I found fascinating, that there's this nomad lifestyle of people. So you think of like, when I think of nomads, I think of like desert dwellers that move from place to place looking for water and food. But that's not what this is. These are people that just basically live in their vans or their trucks or whatever and migrate around the country when the weather changes. And it's a hard life. We see, people, there's no, people get sick and there's a good chance they're going to die on the road. Mm-hmm. And since they're usually the only person in their family, or they've left everybody, when they die, their possessions just go into a pile and people absorb them or throw them away or whatever the case is. Like that poor woman.
Yes, Frankie.
Doesn't she have a scene in the film? If I remember, I saw this a little while ago. I apologize. That they just give her stuff away and they take out. And I like how they trade things. Like they definitely are nomads. They do trade. Yeah. No cash is exchanged. It's always trade.
Yeah. Are you talking about the storage unit? Because that was
we're talking about her friend who died and the fact that they always.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No, but I did find it interesting. I guess that's the spoiler, is that she held on to the house and she held on to the storage unit and she didn't get rid of those things. We thought that she had cut herself loose. So we got to see the house that had the backyard that went on forever to the mountains and things like that. She just could not be shackled once her husband died.
Yeah, that was her problem. She had to go.
And when she has the opportunity to find love again and get shackled essentially to another man and his family, she runs away.
Yeah.
That's a tough scene, but I don't think she wants it. I really don't think she's wants that way of life. I think she wants to go back to what she knew and where she was happy.
Mm-hmm. Also shows the cyclical nature of the life with starting off in the storage unit, going back to the storage unit at the end, the jobs at Amazon coming up, you know, that special time of year when Amazon is hiring. It's a very cyclical nature, and I could see how people get addicted to that. It's very it's stabilizing in a way.
Yeah,
kind of like this podcast stabilizes me every 2 weeks.
Sure,
this is
not much stabilizes you. I'm thinking more of along the lines of what I see with the convention lifestyle, as I see a number of people that are on the road most of the year, moving from show to show to show, and they see their friends, they see their family. Oh, will I see you at the next Wizard show, or will I see you at C2E2, or I see you here or that? No, then we just compare notes, and okay, this is where we'll see you next.
Yeah.
And it, so what do you think happens to these people in the end? This is their life forever? Like the real life one. It's not.
I think of that. I think it is like that forever with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that scene where the guy's talking about like, oh, it's never goodbye. We're going to see you down the road. I think that really encapsulates it. As well as that woman saying that she didn't want her life to be a sailboat in the driveway and just rotting away because that guy never was able to use it.
Yep.
I think that really defines the film.
They don't want to be shackled.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be lost, essentially, right?
Yeah. And I don't have a negative take on this film, but it's slowly paced. So all the reviews I've seen have been like super positive. And I wasn't really blown away by it until the second half when I really felt the emotions of it. But that's a negative take, but just like me for the first half, I was neither underwhelmed nor overwhelmed. I was just kind of whelmed by it. But I love the look of it. And then it kind of just felt very poetic. I love how it feels like a docudrama and just, she's not Frances McDormand, she's Fern. And I thought that was just very powerful. And just learning about the slice of life, I thought was fascinating. And this is going to get so many like Oscar nominations, I feel like. And I'm just, in a way, it's like the slice of life. Like it's kind of similar to Florida Project. And I just, that only got like one Oscar nod. Mm. So I have to think about them in the same vein, I guess. With the slice of life in that way.
Okay. That was a very fun review.
Bob, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I'm going to be the dissenting opinion on this one because, like, although I know it's an obvious nomination for Frances McDormand, the movie as a whole for me didn't give me an oomph factor. I liked the cinematography. I liked the directing, sort of. But the movie as a whole for me just didn't do it. I don't know why, but like, I didn't feel this is an Oscar nominated film for Frances. I know that for sure, but I didn't like it as much as Three Billboards. It's just like the movie was there and I'm looking at it and I'm going, it's during the recession, economic collapse of a company. And I'm going, I just didn't, I enjoyed it for what it was, but not like, I wasn't blown out of my seat for it.
I get what you mean.
Oh, I get what you mean, sir. But I think that's the point of this film. It's not supposed to blow you out of your seat.
Yeah, but you four, 1, 2, 3, 4, you four enjoyed it more than I did.
I understand that.
Surprising the mundane of it, right?
A community coming together. You see the community forming. You see her finding a sense of identity. She's trying to find herself. Right. And then she discovers she still needs to find herself. She can't let go of the past. That is her biggest issue. So she's trying to keep going forward. But Doug's right. She's in this secular pattern of doing the same things over and over again. She really should have moved in with Strathern and be done with it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's supposed to be a wow factor in this movie at all. I think it's a human interest story.
Mm-hmm.
And either you can relate to Fran and accept Fran and accept Fern. Her friend, Fern, and her friends, or you don't.
It's not that I didn't accept them. It's just like it didn't give me the satisfaction of like an enjoyment that Three Billboards did. I know you can't compare the two, but
I think it just feels mundane in a way, just because it is just about their lives.
It is mundane, Phil. Yeah, absolutely correct. But it's supposed to be that.
Three Billboards is a narrative.
I think that's correct. What he's trying to put his
Three Billboards
on,
is maybe. A narrative film, while this is more documentary style. This is more like following her life.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I see where you're coming from, Bob. But I'm just trying to guess if that's what you're thinking. I don't know.
That's possibly what I'm thinking, but I'm not changing my opinion.
No, I'm not trying to get you to.
So Fern is in her lawn chair, sitting in the back, staring off, not a shadow in the clouds.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, I wasn't sure if you're going to that one or another one in that one. Shadow in the Cloud, directed by Roseanne Leung, starring Chloe Grace Moretz, Nick Robinson, Biola Coale. Generally, there's a couple others, but it's a small cast. So,
I'll go first if you guys want. I don't know about you guys, but I really did not like this film. first of all, when I found out that Max Landis wrote this, I was not pleased with that. I am not a Max Landis fan. I'm surprised that this movie even still got made with his name attached. I read that his run-ins with the Me Too movement, shall we say, happened at the beginning of production on this. So he was heavily rewritten by the director. But he's still claiming that 90 to 95% of what he wrote is on the screen up there. I don't know. I don't like Max Landis. I didn't care for this film. I thought the last shot of this movie, I won't spoil what it is, I thought it was so bad. I laughed out loud when it happened. It was...
When she looks at us?
No, when she breastfeeds.
Yeah,
that just... If they were trying to go for a woman is powerful moment, it didn't come across that way to me. I just thought this movie was really bad.
I can comment on how much it is Max Landis.
Okay.
I read his script after watching the film for a second time. And he didn't have the breastfeeding part in his original draft. That was Liang, I guess, in the rewrites. Okay. They didn't have that awesome little battle when she grabs his tail, the gremlin's tail.
Part in when it was at TIFF. I didn't see that.
Which part, Bob?
The breastfeeding. I don't remember that.
I think it was. Bob and I both watched it at TIFF, not together.
Not together.
I had a very different experience with this at TIFF because I think I was just going in expecting, it's just a big, dumb monster movie. And I watched it this time because I don't know if it was because I hadn't seen Promising Young Woman yet, but I completely missed the commentary of just all the gaslighting. And I watched it this time with that, like, female empowerment commentary and then the gaslighting and all that. And I enjoyed it a bit less, but I still like this film. It's definitely uncomfortable with Landis's name on it. When I saw it at TIFF, I think I liked it a bit more because I thought it was mostly Liang's words.
And maybe that's why I didn't watch it again, because I didn't want to ruin it
for myself. But I had fun with the action. I thought I liked the external aspects with just the dog fights. I thought those scenes were good. I had fun with the third act. I thought I loved how ridiculous it was with the Fast and Furious gravity and her just falling out of the plane, going on the exploding jet and going back into the plane. It's so stupid, but I liked it. And then I liked the little battle at the end. Made me think of that meme with the, why are you running? And she just goes to grab the gremlin and he's like, oh, I fucked up. I thought that was kind of fun.
I have to say, Fast and Furious is perfect for that scene. That physics do not work that way. This movie does not care.
Yeah, it doesn't care. That was Landis. His script is bad to read, but yeah. Arguably bad to watch, too, I guess.
I thought this movie was hot garbage. It was crap. It was just nearly unwatchable. I mean, I guess they were trying to prove a point that there were women that flew in planes in World War II, which I'm not entirely certain that many.
I don't think there were any at all, actually.
Well, over the end credits, you get to see pictures of the women who were.
I don't think there were any in their RAF, though.
No, they weren't. I don't. What was the point of this movie? So she has a baby, and the gremlin wants the baby. And she's got to hide it in a basket and take it to New Zealand. Is it the freaking devil's baby? No, it's the other guys on the planes, baby. Like, I don't get what the point of the gremlin wanting the baby was. And why did it hit? And, I guess there was a funny cartoon, World War II cartoon with Bugs Bunny and gremlins on the plane. Great cartoon, but, I mean, is this like the cartoon? I understand... I'm not a big fan of Max Landis, but I also think that he was removed from the project and they tried to rewrite a lot of his dialogue.
Yeah.
To get it further away from his plans for the film. So God knows what they would have been. Chloe, she tries, but that film is just shit. I mean, it's just not good. And it's so badly, the VFX are so wonky. I found a really odd coloring and oversaturated light. And I mean, I felt like I was in Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow at parts. So, which was fine for Sky Captain, but I don't know. Here, hold my baby while I beat up the gremlin. And then I'm going to come back to breastfeed and then stare directly in the camera to say, that's right. I'm kick ass.
I'm badass.
I'm the kick ass this time.
Yeah, I'm badass and a baby will get breastfed too.
Yeah, okay. if that's what we want to do, great. If women feel empowered by that, I just think it's a dumb movie.
Intern, this was number 8 on your top 10 best list of the year, was it not?
Oh, and what's your point? And I hadn't seen two other movies.
You didn't see very many movies, I guess, right?
No, I had. It would have changed had I seen Summer. Had I seen another two movies, I figured out how the list would have changed. That would have gone up.
I'm asking you to tell us why you like this movie.
I'm trying to. I don't remember now. I saw it myself as well as.
You don't remember why you liked it. I agree. Sorry.
It's kind of fun in times.
It was just fun watching it. That's not that I enjoyed it for like a movie. I wasn't looking at, oh, there's a green screen or, oh, the writer was like he was. It's something just for my enjoyment.
Definitely a turn off your brain movie.
I tried hard to turn off my brain.
Yeah.
Tried hard. This movie made no sense to me. It was like a dumpster fire movie. Pardon?
There was sci-fi in it. That's why I enjoyed it. Like, it was partially in sci-fi in it because of the gremlin.
But why?
I can explain the gremlins and what I think it's supposed to be, or what I've read at least, that it's just commentary for the gaslighting that no one believes her, that there's a gremlin below deck, and that it's just about the incompetence of men. Like they explain in the beginning of the film that if you make a mistake, it's like, okay, let's blame the gremlins. But scientifically, where the hell did it come from? No idea.
And what was the point of it?
I don't know.
Men are stupid and evil, and they don't believe that women see gremlins.
Maybe it was Max Landis being like, hey, I like women. I can make a women, female commentary.
I really
Yeah, but then this. Wouldn't Maud be a Mary Sue? No.
I think this thing's just a dumpster fire of a film. Yeah. Unwatchable. I didn't understand it. I didn't like it. Nothing made any sense to me. Having her baby hidden, that made no sense. They didn't believe her why she was there. I'm like, makes no sense. Like, somebody should have told them, hey, this person's coming on board. Make sure she's there. You know? So.
But that's how she gets on, though.
Pardon?
Sorry, I was just saying that's how she gets on, though, because they didn't know, because she's not supposed to be on it. It's like a stowaway.
Right? But that's what I mean. Like, that would never have happened.
Okay.
Like, just basic logic jumps I can't give this film. And I'm glad Bob liked it. I'm glad Bob found something that the filmmaker was looking for in this film. I just didn't see that. I thought this thing was a dumpster fire. I don't want anyone ever to change their mind. You're welcome to your opinion. And that's fine with me. It was not for me. I'm not recommending this to anybody. I think it's a dumpster fire of a film. I think Chloe Moretz's career is stalled.
Actually, she's never gotten better.
She keeps doing these terrible films, one after another. Obviously, she's looking for the cash only. I don't think she can pick a good script, and I don't think her acting is that good. I find it very average most of the time. I find she acts the same way in every single movie I see her in, from Hick to Shadow, and to include even the new Tom and Jerry film she's in.
I forgot she was in that.
And she's acting the same, and I'm kind of like, I don't care. I understand you need to make money and you're having a good time. Great for you.
I like the role she picks. Greta, Suspiria.
Suspiria's her best film in 10 years.
Oh, geez, sorry. Sorry about that.
I mean, not as good roles as the 2010s, like Let Me In and Kick Ass, but I don't
those
think
were 11 stalled. Years ago now.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd call her that a career stalled.
I liked Greta.
Where's she gone from there?
What do you mean?
What has she done since Kick Ass? And
Greta.
Let Me In, Greta, Suspiria, Shadow in the Cloud.
They're all terrible.
Why was Greta terrible?
Oh, Greta wasn't bad. No, I'll give Greta credit. I did enjoy Greta. So I think of the Hansel and Gretel. That's what I'm getting confused.
Oh, Sophia Lillis.
Greta, yeah, I did like.
That one is a great.
Okay, well, Bob liked this, not on. Bob, what? Are we going to have a chick fight over this?
Have whatever you want.
Chick fight. Do you mind my Paulie?
He sets them up. They don't get knocked down.
Sorry, Chick Fight, directed by Paul Leyden, starring Melon Ackerman, Bella Thorne, Alec Baldwin, Dulce Sloan, Kevin Connolly, Kevin Nash, Alec Mappa, and Fortune Feimster. Simon, did you want to rant first?
Kevin?
What about...
Are you trying to kill me?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Maybe. Trying to kill me? You made me watch a Bella Thorne movie.
Yes. Well, she's cute, actually, in this movie.
I didn't even recognize her in it.
She was the antagonist.
Olivia.
But
Funny thing is, I'd watched this film before because I had a stand-up comedian I knew.
Mm-hmm. In it. Fortune?
And I care. Fortune, Feaster.
Yeah.
Who I find kind of funny.
Okay, yeah.
So I would have watched this anyway. What another pile of crap. The best storyline is untouched is the Kevin Nash storyline, which I kind of liked.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of this is just a dumpster fire, too. Kevin, are you trying? There's nothing to this movie. It's absolutely horribly accurate.
Well, you know that this is...
Ackerman is just burnt her career to the pulp. She is going to the 250, whatever that stupid... Whatever Willis gets made, minus 200,000 is what she's making for these piles of crap she's turning out. And it's like one after another. Literally, she's like... Fuck, I have no career. I'm doing crap for the rest of my life. Beautiful woman, can never act, and it's showing more and more by these projects. She can't save them. When you're getting out, Lloyd from Entourage
and Kevin Nash,
you got a problem. Pardon?
He's not Lloyd, he's E.
Yeah, he's not. Is E in this too?
E.
Oh, sorry. E from Entourage. Who? It's terrible. This is garbage, Kevin.
But he's a hot
doctor.
You
can do better in picking films to annoy me, but maybe this was your whole goal.
Hold on. I didn't choose this to piss you off. I chose it because it was on Prime or something, and I'm like, I haven't seen this. We haven't reviewed it. I'll put it on the list. And I wanted to watch it.
But after you watched it, did you think we would like it?
No, I this is what this show is. We review movies.
No, I'm sorry.
Good and bad. No, it's a terrible movie. I mean, it's I don't understand why Alec Baldwin was in this movie. Was he drunk the whole time?
Yes.
Actually, it reminded me.
He was good.
He was playing the same type of character as that he played in Rock of Ages. It was the exact same type of character.
Literally, Alec Baldwin got paid $250,000 to get shoot out in a day.
Yeah.
He was shot out in one day and off the set. He said, I got time.
I'll tell you what happened with his character. He took a shot every time slow motion was used in this movie, and that's what he showed up like on set because he's so drunk. Because there's like, what, like 30 uses of slow motion in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Therapeutic Fight Club is a dumb concept for a movie.
For sure.
And so, anyway, there's nothing redeeming about this film.
And yeah, I honestly, usually I defend the actors when Simon. Shit talks them with Melon Ackerman.
Would I do that?
Yes.
Would
yes.
I do that? See, I usually like her, but with this kind of movie, she doesn't have the skill to phone it in, and I thought the two comedians.
Can I ask you a question?
Better here because they just no effort was put in.
But. Why does she think that she should open businesses when every business she runs fails so miserably? What bank would ever give her money? What place would ever rent a storefront after? She burns the coffee shop that she had.
She has no skills.
It was a mistake. Things happen. She has insurance money.
She didn't have insurance.
Oh, that made sense. Problem.
Actually, it was the friend that burned it down. The friend of hers that burned it down.
Ackerman had the last little bit of that joint, she put it on the ground. So blame could be put around here.
You know what? Doug's beard has more acting ability than Melon Ackerman.
Oh. I can't put a convincing argument against that, really.
Doug's beard could be Santa Claus in 250 movies this December.
That's true.
Forward to it, Doug.
Doug didn't see this movie. So
no, I did.
I saw it.
I didn't care for it, but I saw it.
It was odd. It was okay.
Yeah, I had it on in the background while I was working and
vacuuming.
I didn't feel the need to look at the screen that much. Yeah.
Just when Melon Ackerman shows up in a nice tight outfit, it's worth watching.
Now,
have that one line about the Bella Thorne called her mom jeans, and she said, "These are tight." I didn't laugh, but it was a line.
There were many lines in this film, like Kevin Nash at the bar.
Oh,
the Kevin Nash stuff was funny.
I thought the Kevin Nash stuff was the best comedy. Hence, I gave it a 2. Just for Kevin Nash. Full mark for Kevin Nash. Supporting character.
I thought that was just so awkward. The whole bit with like, oh, look, it's funny because their sizes are different.
It was funny because it was the only thing funny about the film.
Yeah. No, I mean.
It was so painful. Ford and Kiesmer, I'm like, oh, feel bad for her.
I mean, you know, it's a boring movie that just, it sticks so closely to the formula, it's unwatchable.
Can we move on? Right? Intern talk?
Bob hasn't seen it yet.
I've seen it. Sure. I just didn't like it. It's another bad choice by our, like, huh?
You didn't like it?
No. I didn't. Okay. I this was as bad as Dinner with Friends, which they didn't realize what name they were giving it because they were calling it Dinner with Friends or Friendsgiving. The sleepover was bad. I didn't buy her relationship with Kevin Nash. I didn't buy Kevin Nash's relationship at all. I didn't buy her. I didn't buy the Alec Baldwin character. And I'm going, I didn't buy her as like in a Fight Club. Like, why? But I didn't enjoy the thing at all.
Fair. And Bella Thorne was terrible too. I don't think we said that enough.
Actually, I didn't even recognize her, but once I thought it was her, I go, okay, this is a change for her, buddy.
I disagree. I liked Bella Thorne. She was the only character I liked in that movie because she was hot.
Did I say I didn't like Bella Thorne? Wait. I don't think I said I didn't like Bella Thorne. I don't think. Did I?
She just makes memes so boring. I'll just stare you down. I don't know.
I'm going challenge you.
I'm going to challenge Doug to a sleepover. And maybe we'll invite Holly.
Hey, Holly Slept Over. Directed by Joshua Friedlander, starring Natalie Emmanuel, Aaron Hayes, Josh Lawson, and Ron Livingston.
Now, speaking of funny things, I always thought Aaron Hayes might have a career 10 years ago. And every once in a while, I run into an Aaron Hayes film. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that chick I thought I had a career 10 years ago. And she went nowhere. So before I start going on how much I hated Holly Slept Over, intern, you're up.
Me. All right. It's an unconventional comedy. I didn't laugh once. I was waiting for something funny. I'm going, I didn't buy, what did I? Although the actors were worked well together, I thought that. But the two women that were friends and had years apart, I'm going, they just picked up exactly where they left off. I wasn't buying it at all. The other husband was a little strange. You know, they all need therapy. But I didn't really enjoy this movie either.
Douglas?
This is mediocre white guy fantasy film that I found offensively bad and slightly racist because it was a black woman who magically comes in and cures their ills. This movie was awful. Ron Livingston's character was actually sexually assaulting his wife. Even when he says he wasn't, he was. These people are so mediocre white that they need a black woman to come and save them. There's nothing special about them. They say, oh, yeah, we make a lot of money. We can afford this house. We have this pool. So who cares? I hated all the characters in this movie. I hated that it was racist. I hated that it was not funny in the least. And yeah, that's it.
Ren?
I got 10 minutes in and topped out. Just a Kevin review. I watched the trailer. It was terrible.
Yeah. I you know what, I picked this because it had Natalie Emmanuel in it. It was pretty good in Game of Thrones.
Never seen Game of Thrones, like
and she looks fantastic, so she wasn't hard on the eyes, I'll give that. I didn't find it, they call it an unconventional comedy, but I didn't find there to be any comedy in this comedy. It was more like a relationship drama with some funny attempts to be funny. It basically what happens when you know, the Ron Livingston character, who I agree,
in the Maze Runner movies,
100% that guy was sexually assaulting his wife. And it's so sad because Ron Livingston used to be funny and he used to do decent roles and decent parts, and so this is where his career has ended up being. And I mean, I will say this is like a student film that someone put this together, and they just kind of threw it up on Prime. I mean, Simon, you could have interviewed the director for the extra feature interviews. I mean, it's that kind of a movie. So is it, I mean, essentially there was some funny tension. And I know this is a stretch, but when we find out that his wife was actually in love with the Holly character, and that introduced a level of tension, but and the fact that it all works out so perfectly for everybody was kind of annoying. I was kind of hoping for some drama where the husband got kicked out because she decided to reunite with Holly and move on and leave their boring suburban white bread picket fence lame ass life. So but yeah, not a good movie.
I was so bored by this, Kevin. The running time is, what, 2 hours or maybe even hour 47?
An hour 27.
Yeah, are you serious?
Yeah, it's only an hour
27. It wasn't even 90 minutes.
Oh, my God. I thought this thing was about 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. It did. I was like,
I don't like Aaron Hayes. Ron Livingston's putting me to sleep. This chick, I wasn't a big fan of her in Game of Thrones, but I know she was okay. But I'm just like, this is boring. Can I hang out with those neighbors? Because those neighbors seem kind of interesting. And that was it. I'm like, where is this going? It just goes on and on and on and makes no jokes that were funny. So I've decided Kevin's list, after watching, I think it was my third or fourth film on the list I watched, this is where actors go to die. Is on Kevin's list.
Is that my list?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You just turn on Prime and turn on Netflix, or maybe even Shudder. I don't know. And just watch the crappiest crap to piss me off, to find actors I haven't heard of in 10 years and watch their career died.
The horror on Shudder would never be on Kevin's list. Because it's horror.
That's true. That's true.
That's right.
Oh, Tubi. That's where they go. Tubi. That's what I'm thinking of. Tubi. So I'm just over this crap. Sorry, Kevin. I think this film is unwatchable.
Is it wrong? You have to apologize to me. I don't pick, like, I don't know how you guys pick your movies, but I don't pick thinking they're all going to be good. I'm picking movies that we haven't seen so we can discuss them.
I picked
I understand you're picking stuff we haven't discussed.
You're right.
But could you pick something interesting to discuss is what I'm asking.
Okay. Well,
mine are mostly ones that I've been meaning to check out for years but haven't yet, for my vault ones at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's time to go to Netflix.
Are we starting with the bad one? But I think you thought they were both bad.
Well, let's think outside the wire, you know? Let's go outside.
Okay. Outside the wire. Mm-hmm.
Directed by Mike... Voice crack, Jesus. Directed by... Outside the Wire, directed by Michael Hafstrom, starring Anthony Mackie, Damson Idris, Enzo Salente, Emily Beecham, Michael Kelly, and Pilo Aspic or something.
Yeah, Dilo Aspic. So, since I'm just going to rant about Anthony Mackie's lack of acting ability... I think Doug should go first.
Okay, I'll be honest. This movie was very generic to me. It felt like the colors were all bland. The action was bland. It took me three goes to get through this film. I watched the first hour, started to fall asleep, then did some chores, made some lunch, watched the next half hour. When lunch was over, I turned it off, and then I got to get through these last 20 minutes or so. So I finally muscled through those, and there's really nothing big to recommend about this film. I thought the special effects on Anthony Mackie, the way he looked as a robot, were interesting, but I liked the effects in a movie like Ex Machina, which was doing similar stuff better. Aside from that, this movie was just bland.
Fair.
I mean, I agree. I actually watched half an hour of this and then stopped it and came back to it today to finish it off. Mackie, I generally don't have a problem with Mackie. He's an agreeable actor. He's somewhat light. He doesn't have a lot of depth to him, but he's just like a likable kind of a buddy kind of guy, right? Which is why I don't mind him as the Falcon in the Marvel movies. But this movie, I mean, actually had a very District 9 feel to me in some ways, but not in a good way.
I was getting Chappy kind of. So.
Chappy, yeah. That kind of thing, like robots and robots in the military. And like overall... The fact that he played the guy was kind of interesting, but the big reveal, I think somebody called me and I was on the phone as the big reveal was going on and I just didn't want to go back to listen to it. But Mackie was trying to prove that they shouldn't make robots like him. That was his whole thing. And for that reason, he was going to cause World War III or IV or whatever it was. So, So they had to blow him up, essentially. So that they would not make any more people. And was he was a cyborg, but they kept just referring to him like a robot as opposed to a mixture of human and robotics. They said that he was all programming and that his looks were chosen for him, that he wasn't, that wasn't the way he looked. Anyway, it didn't make a lot of sense. And I really didn't care enough to want to figure it out. So
I'll give a few positives about the film.
Before you do, can I just say one other thing that annoyed me at the very beginning of this movie was during the words that come up in the beginning. They're not subtitles. I'm not sure. Title cards, I guess.
Yeah.
It said that civil war broke out in Eastern Europe. They don't give the country names. Do the screenwriters not know that Eastern Europe is not an actual country? South Africa is a country. They do go into Russia at the end, though.
Ukraine,
that is
right?
True.
Yeah.
Then they should have said Ukraine in the beginning. It was just generic Eastern Europe.
Just call it outside the Ukraine.
And that just annoyed me that they wouldn't get more specific.
Yeah, just about generic as the film is, right? Just generic Eastern Europe.
It's a Netflix movie. Yeah. It's like... Extraction or one of those other movies. It's a couple hours of gunfire and visuals.
Nearly as good as Extraction, though.
Extraction wasn't nearly as good as Extraction thinks it is.
Oh, it wasn't, but...
So, yeah. I did like the action scenes. I thought they were better than average, but not much better. I like the introduction of the automated robots that would fight with them. I thought they blended pretty well. I thought the CGI held up. I thought that was pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Anthony Mackie as a cyborg describes his whole career. He just doesn't know how emotion works. He just stares off at everybody going, "You, huh? Kid, you need TikTok? To listen to me." Oh, terrible. I have to agree with Doug 100%. It's generic. There's nothing special about this film. I mean, half the time I was confused. I'm like, did I miss something? Nope, didn't miss anything. This film's just confusing. It's like trying to give me so much exposition at times, but not really helping me out with the story. That's great. We know everything is going on, but why are we doing this? And I didn't care. In the last half an hour, it was running test, what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
It was a long one, yeah.
1 hour just 55.
Way too long for the running time. I just got lost interest. Like, I had problems trying to finish this. At day two, I'm like, why is this still going? I just don't care anymore about any of these people. Let this guy die. Can we just blow them all up? Maybe one of those crazy robots will just kill everybody? I don't know. I just thought the hostage negotiation was the best scene in the movie.
For sure.
When the robots show up and just start taking them out, I thought that was kind of neat. But other than that, I think this is Kevin's right. Bob's right. I mean, Doug's right. I haven't heard Bob's opinion yet. That this is just very generic Netflix fare. Bob, over to you, intern.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you on Anthony Mackie, like the expressions of him. But I feel like the movie as a whole, I like. The concept was good. The effects were good. Like the AI is an AI soldier. Those robots, I liked. I just didn't. I got where Simon was coming from by the end. I was just waiting for it to end. I was going, when is this over? I looked at my watch. I'm going, when is it over yet? But the story I liked. It's just some of it I just couldn't take, and I'm going, and I agree that with like when is it over?
Yeah, I usually like Anthony Mackie. I think he's perfect here because he is a cyborg. He doesn't emote very much. I don't think he ever really hurts the films he's in. I mean, they could be better if it wasn't him, but I generally have a problem with him. I like some of the action here. I caught myself going, oh, that's kind of cool a couple times during the action scenes. And I also like Doug. It took me 3 times to watch this. I made eggs during the exposition scenes, which I will never do. Like, it's full attention or no attention, and this didn't deserve my full attention.
Well, you were expecting more then.
God damn it! I wanna. That is terrible. Where's my train of thought after that? After that one,
I tried. That was a bad one.
One sec. And yeah, I mean, and if you want like the commentary about the drones and not being, and just all that commentary with just the morals of drone pilots, if you want any of that, just watch Eye in the Sky or Good Kill, because it's everything here, and you'll get it better there. Just, agree that it's just generic, convoluted.
Eye in the Sky was a better movie than this.
Oh, for sure. I love Eye in the Sky.
Is that the one with Aaron Paul?
Yeah, and Helen Mirren.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Good Kill. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that besides me. It's with Ethan Hawke.
Nope.
Another one for Simon to watch.
Wait, what?
Uh-oh. Sorry, Simon.
All good. I'll watch it this week. Okay. Moving along. I was in my backyard the other day. You know, the snow's kind of melting, and I was digging.
Ah, okay. Pretty good. 6 out of 10. The Dig, directed by Simon Stone, starring Keri Mulligan, Ralph Fiennes, Lily James, Archie Barnes, Johnny Flynn, and Ben Chaplin. Is this another rant for you, Simon?
Probably.
No, this one was okay. You want me to start off on this one too, Kevin? You're trying to kill me. There's rules for me not to follow. Don't put me in British period pieces, please, ever again. I could have had a nap during this one and woken up, and I don't think I ever would have noticed anything during my nap. God, this was boring. Digging a hole in the backyard. Oh, no, it's raining. Get the tarps out. Come over for dinner. Okay. Don't care. Absolutely put me to sleep, this whole film. Didn't care about anything. Great. They found a boat or something. I didn't care. Really didn't care. Don't find this interesting. Cannot tell you. Carey Mulligan. Maybe it's Carey Mulligan. I just don't find it interesting. But I always think she's better than okay, but just doesn't do it. I love Ralph Fiennes. I will give Ralph Fiennes full credit. He keeps me amused. I think he did a great job. I just didn't find the film. He did a fine job, yes. I think he kind of got screwed over by the museum. I really think it should have been his project, and he kind of got screwed over. But other than that, that's all I have to say.
Even your rant is impassionate.
I know. I'm bored. I found this film just boring.
I'll go next. I'm on the opposite side. I enjoyed it. It's definitely slowly paced. But I liked Carey Mulligan here. I liked how it dealt with her mortality and just what's going to happen next. And I feel like that relates directly back to the history of them finding the boat. And I thought it made history kind of fun. I liked Lily James's character and just with the whole dynamic with the husband. I thought that was interesting.
Silly nonsense.
Okay, buddy. And I like the...
Okay, Daniel, I agree with you.
And I like the, just the fact that it's just a story about, him not getting his dues, and Ralph Fiennes is great, as always. I like the emotions in it by the end of the film, and I love the way it was lit. I really liked how they used the natural lighting. I thought it looked great. I enjoyed it.
Intern?
I'm agreeing with Daniel. I enjoyed it too. I like the cinematography. The landscapes were really good. I'm trying to read here. It is based on a true story, right?
Yeah,
it is. Yes, sir.
Okay, I think, and it's a historical drama. So I liked it for that part.
You're reading now? Why we're doing this show?
I read it before. No, I read it before. I'm just.
Oh, okay.
And you read that unconventional comedy right off the. Holly stopped over IMDb page.
I was reading it, yes, because I wanted to remind myself.
Sorry, I just thought that was funny. Go on. My bad.
I did read before that it was a historical drama and it was real, but just in case I was wrong, I was like reading that in case you guys were going to say, no, you're wrong. But I did enjoy it. Like, I enjoyed the characters. I enjoyed the, like, when they were doing the excavation, that interested me too. I don't have that as a job, but it looks interesting. It looked interesting as they were dusting off everything. I was interested myself. It sort of got me. It sort of got me.
Like their archaeology
scenes. Got you how? I'm trying to understand. It got you, like, you got into it.
Yeah,
joined like, into it. You like, cried.
Not cried, like I was just enjoying the fact that I was watching an excavation being done. Like they were brushing it off, and then they were each piece was so it was brittle because of the age, and I was just interested in what they were doing, and I liked the Lily James character as well.
Kevin, this seems like your kind of movie.
I loved it. I think it's the best movie of 2021 so far. I think the acting is fantastic. I think the story is interesting. I think you have no soul.
It's our soul.
I think I thought Ralph Fiennes was fantastic. Carey Mulligan was certainly not playing type.
Nope.
I liked her story. The fact that she was a woman with illnesses who married an older man who passed away, trying to raise a son, trying to figure out what to do with her estate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the bits of Ralph Fiennes and his wife, and she sort of comes in for a day, and he loves the work. The work is, he lives for the work. And yes, he should get credit, and they don't give him credit, and he's undermined by the British Museum. And it ultimately comes down to Mulligan's character to decide what will happen to the find, which is, it was an extraordinary find, and probably one of the greatest in England in the last century. And the fact that it happened on the verge of World War II is pretty amazing, and that they were able to find it, uncover it, take what they could, and then rebury it before the war destroyed things is pretty amazing. I loved it. I loved every aspect of it. I thought,
Yeah, if I could chime in just for a sec, I didn't even know what Anglo-Saxon really meant, but I was excited about it.
Yeah.
I watched this movie with my wife, and my wife is a huge history buff. So she knew this story going into it. The funny thing is, it was written by the nephew of Lily James's character. And the only person in this movie who's not real is the person that his aunt has the affair with. So the guy going into the Air Force.
The photographer.
He just, Lomax, yeah.
He just apparently wanted to write some hot aunt porn. But but no, I agree with Kevin. I agree with the intern. I agree with Daniel. This was a really charming film. The acting was all spectacular. I liked it a lot. I wasn't expecting to like it, but I did. My one issue was Carey Mulligan supposed to be playing a character who's like 10 years older than me. But I'm actually 10 years older than Carey Mulligan. So that threw me off a little bit. But aside from that, I really like this film.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking like Christian Scott Thomas might have been like a better choice. But I love Carey Mulligan regardless. But yeah, like a believability, I agree with that.
She just comes across as tired. The world has worn her down. And this is bringing her back to life. For a short period of time.
Yeah. And that scene in the boat with the sun, I love that was my favorite one here.
Oh, actually, I got one more thing. I saw this almost right after Promising, whichever way I did it. It was either Promising Young Woman first or this. And it was a total 180 for Carrie, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's fair.
Doug?
Yes, sir?
Can you go to the vault and get me some Hostess cupcakes, please?
Not Twinkies?
Yeah, okay. I think Kevin likes Twinkies. Get those, too.
But I'm a cheerleader. Is that one we're doing first?
Sure.
Okay.
Because you're a cheerleader? Is this your coming out party?
No, I mean, that's the title of the movie, but it's like, you know, in the frickin' dialogue when they're like, you're not gay, but I'm a cheerleader, you know what I mean? Fuck, it's directed by, but I'm a cheerleader. Directed by Jamie Babbitt, starring Natasha Lyonne, Clea DuVall, Kathy Moriarty, RuPaul acting as RuPaul Charles, Eddie Cibrian, Melanie Lynskey, Julie Delpy for a minute, and then Michelle Williams for a minute.
Chewy Delpy's one of the cheerleaders at the beginning.
No, she was the lipstick lesbian at the club. That's literally what her character name is, the lipstick lesbian.
Yeah, that wants to dance with her.
I totally missed that.
The cocksucker nightclub.
I can't believe I missed Chewy Delpy. I love Chewy Delpy. Huh. Kevin?
Yes.
Why?
Well, this was a torture one for you, definitely. I don't know. I don't know why people rave about this one. They say it's a cult classic that quite a lot of people like. It certainly has a heck of a cast for the time, and I was shocked to see Rufio from Hook was one of the main characters.
Yeah,
That
was neat.
I like Natasha Lyonne, I really liked. Russian Doll, the film that she did on Netflix last year, or 2 years ago.
Show.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that. I enjoyed that.
He corrected himself.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry to offend you there, Simon.
I'm offended.
You're offended. I can tell. it was kind of amusing in a weird kind of way. I mean, it's basically, it's about these places that try to un-gay people. And Natasha Lyonne may be gay. She's certainly attracted to women, other cheerleaders, and but she is a cheerleader, and she was dating the quarterback or whatever. Anyway, it's just silly, goofy, odd movie about trying to turn people straight and rebelling. And I guess I can see why young gay people would probably enjoy this as a parody of the people that don't understand them.
I thought this was a John Waters film. It definitely had that John Waters feel.
Mm-hmm. Is that Mean Girls director?
No.
Hairspray.
I don't know. Hairspray. Yeah.
Serial Pink Mom. Flamingos. Pink Flamingos.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I just felt this film had that. It was just weird. Like, that kissing scene in the car when the boyfriend's talking about her, I don't think she seems into it.
No.
And I just thought that was weird. And then she kept, then they had like that weird sequence in the school and she keeps going, but I'm a cheerleader. I'm like, oh boy, Kevin. And all I'm thinking is Kevin's trying to kill me. He's just trying to find every film that might possibly annoy me.
Cause it's all about you. Really?
Yeah, I know it's all about me.
Everything is all about
you. This is your show.
So I'm watching this going, I love Natasha Lyonne. I really think she should have had a bigger career than she did. And I'm sitting there going, I've just had too much of these kind of films. I know it's a parody. I mean, we had Boy Erased. Then we had that one that I think Daniel picked.
Yeah, with Chloe. Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Miseducation. I'm like, okay, I don't like this genre of film. I don't find it interesting. I don't believe in it. I don't think the camp factor was high enough for what they were going for this film. I think they need to play it more as a camp film, and I think it would have worked. I liked RuPaul. I thought he was funny in the film at times. Kathy Moriarty was fine. It just didn't do anything for me. I was hoping it would do more, have more parody, more comedy, but I never felt any of that materialized.
I really liked the first half hour of this, and I think if it had stopped then, if it had been a short film, it would be really good. But then it just kept going, and it was kind of the same joke over and over again. It just wore out its welcome for me.
I'm at the cult classic camp. I thought I really liked this film. I like the comedy. I like the sets, the exaggerated sets with like just the very green rooms, very blue rooms, very pink rooms. I thought the set design with the guys with like just the big dick and the big penis and just the military and the guy on the ground with the fellatio. I thought that was freaking funny for set design. I like the humor. I like Natasha Lyonne and Cleo Duvall's relationship. I bought into that. I like their chemistry. I just thought this was, I thought this was a funny movie. It was funny seeing RuPaul before he was really RuPaul, I guess is fair to say.
Was that why? Okay, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this one. So I guess I'm the voice of dissent, as Bob would put, the intern would put it.
Mm. Yeah, you might be on it.
Intern, did you see this one?
I saw it. Actually, I had a conversation with Simon because I had seen the first part, the first like 15 minutes where it showed Natasha Lyonne and the boyfriend kissing in the car, macking on each other, and she's thinking of the cheerleaders. And I'm going, I'm sure I've seen this movie before, but I hadn't because I watched the rest of the movie, and it's just that particular scene. And I'm going, I've seen this somewhere. Is Natasha Lyonne mostly a secondary character in most movies, or has she
American Pie? She's one American Pie.
Mostly a secondary.
Okay, that's what I thought because I wasn't buying it. I wasn't buying her as a lead character. Same thing with Clea DuVall, and I wasn't like setting them up in a home to try to de-gay them. I'm going, I didn't I wasn't buying into that. I know it's supposed to be campy, but I'm going, and then the kissing scenes with her and Clea, and I'm going, somebody subjected me to softcore porn. I was saying that to Warren. He says, try it and see what reaction you get to that. And I'm going, like, this movie, Holly Slept Over, and the next movie are like all the same thing. I'm going, it's softcore porn. What are you laughing about? But I just didn't. I didn't buy into it that her parents can't accept her as she is, and they want to change her. What the heck is that?
Oh, there's Stitch.
Stitch,
Lilo and Stitch. He's gone offline.
You've got him in stitches. I think.
I see.
He was so offended by my choices that he was left.
Well, I mean, I got the idea it was supposed to be camp, funny camp, but I'm not. I was going. I felt like I was watching softcore porn.
I thought some people were going to like it, so I was going to say if you want a good double feature, watch Miseducation of Cameron Post Get Depressed, and then watch this to feel joy again. But maybe that's just for me.
Miseducation of what?
Miseducation of Cameron Post with Chloe Grace Moretz.
I think Kevin's right. Go watch Russian Doll. Have some more fun. Grid show.
That's the
Russian Doll's incredible.
That's the time loop one, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I watched an episode of it, but couldn't get into it at the time. But I will revisit.
Time loop films are very good.
On Netflix?
Yes, it's on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was walking the other day.
Were you mad?
I was mad, but not really at this dog.
The dog's name was Glory.
Was Glory
and
there?
The dog's name was Glory. Yes.
It's a great title. We're butchering it. Mad Dog and Glory, directed by John McNaughton, starring Robert De Niro, Uma Thurman, Bill Murray, David Caruso, and Mike Starr.
I just want to say first, I'm president of the Mike Starr fan club.
I love him in Dumb and Dumber. He's so good.
Big, big Mike Starr fan. So I guess I could tell a story. So I'm on this Gene Wilder film set. I guess Gene Wilder was trying to do some detective stuff. I can't remember. Just Doug might remember. Doesn't matter. So I see Mike Starr. So I go up to him and hand him an 8x10. And he goes, oh my God, where did you find this? I said, I bought it. And then he goes, this is like his first sitcom that really didn't go anywhere. He goes, when I got this gig, I thought I was going to be a star. And it went nowhere. It was some show I'd never heard of. Yeah, I had like a 20-minute conversation with Mike Starr. So ever since then, I've been a huge Mike Starr fan. So
sorry, was that pre Dumb and Dumber or after?
After Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
But this was like his first big role ever, whatever the TV show was that he signed the 8x10 for. But I just want to say Mike Starr is wonderful. So back to the film. I tried to get into this, Kevin. I tried hard. I gave this full. I was like, I'm in. I love De Niro. It's Uma, Bill Murray. I just felt it never went somewhere for me. I didn't like this. I can give you a ton of reasons why. I just never did anything. I couldn't buy the relationship between De Niro and Murray. I tried. Caruso is just such a bad actor. He annoys me. He needs to just get off screen quickly.
Oh, really?
I just awful. Almost fine. She's probably the most enjoyable character I found in the film. I liked the beginning of the film. I thought it was going, maybe that's what I liked, the part when he's sleeping and he gets the call. He has to go take photos. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of neat. I don't know. I just felt this film never got over the hump I was looking for. I was always hoping it would get better. It never got any worse. It just sort of seemed to stall for me. And that fight scene drove me nuts with De Niro and Murray. I'm like, why is this happening? This makes no sense to me.
For Uma.
For Uma, really?
For Glory.
I tried. I tried hard to like this film. Just didn't do anything for me. I don't want to say it's meh because I think it's better than that, but it just...
It
didn't go anywhere I wanted it to go. That's all I can say.
You want to go, intern?
Sure. For the first time in a long time, I think I'm in agreement with Simon on something. I was started watching it. I thought, okay. And then I see De Niro and I see Uma Thurman. I'm going, I go, wait, they haven't worked together in 27 years because this, and then War with Grandpa. And I'm going, oh.
Oh God.
I have, yeah, the movie was slow. I didn't get the point either. I sort of lost interest. And then by the time he has her up to the apartment, I'm going, fast forward. because like, here we go again with the softcore porn comment, because like there, I'm going, what is this? And I just went fast forwarded through that. And I'm going, I get to the point where they're at the fight and I'm going, why are they fighting?
You hold on.
Yeah.
Did you not watch the whole film?
Oh no, I watched it.
You fast forwarded to the sex scenes.
No, I fast forward through the sex scenes.
You can't fast forward a film. That's not watching it.
No, well, no, wait, hold on.
No, Wait.
Your version of fast forwarding and my version of fast forwarding are different. It's still happening. I just see it at a little double the pace of what it normally is. I'm still watching it.
Do you find those sex scenes make you feel uncomfortable?
Are you inadequate?
You want to go talk to Bill Murray's therapist from this film?
No, I don't.
Hold on.
Well, do you not enjoy softcore porn? I mean,
I'm impartial. Okay, what am I impartial about?
If you're sitting in a room, right,
mm-hmm.
and your wife says, "I'm going to get a snack," just fast forward. I'll catch up. Did your wife watch that film?
Yeah, I think if you've seen at least 80% of the film, you've seen it.
Well, I mean, it's
now, if you could figure out what happened, yeah.
You are a movie buff like me. If you fast forward a film, did you watch that film?
Hold on. I'm still seeing the scenes. It's just they're going faster than it normally would.
Is it fair to say though, if you miss a bit of Tenet, you haven't seen that film because you'd be lost. But if you lost a bit of Dig, I mean, it's a biography. You're still getting the semblance of the film, right?
Yeah.
But did know. You that see the just, film?
No.
It could be that crucial moment, like. Luke, you're
my dad. I mean, if you miss the, this is a family show, so I'm not going to, you know, the finish, right? In the sex
scene. How is that a crucial moment? Them doing the horizontal.
That's a crucial moment.
It is not.
For the birds and the bees?
It isn't crucial in any way to the plot.
Absolutely. Wait. That's a very crucial point to the plot.
Well, how?
I mean, that's the point. He discovers he wants Uma Thurman.
Then he has her 27. No, he doesn't. He has her 27 years. They're married 27 years later. Big deal.
In real life?
War with Grandpa.
No. De Niro is her father in War with Grandpa.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
So that's kinky.
Whoopsie.
So I think that's what you missed, Bob, by fast forwarding this.
No, I didn't. Now they're just thawing. I just didn't want to see it at normal speed.
I mean, I, you know what? That's fair because the scenes are kind of awkward. I like
it is awkward.
I mean, look at Thurman's nose going against him, but
it was an awkward scene to watch.
If I told the intern I fast forward anything, he'd say you got to rewatch it.
That's fair.
You didn't watch it. That's you fair. Didn't see the film.
I saw it. I know exactly what was a quote.
He'd be seething. Like, ooh,
he didn't. If see I it. Don't sit down and watch a film in all of a whole. He says I need to rewatch it from the beginning because I'm missing the essence at that time.
Fine, I'll give you
the same spirit.
Simon, I will give you 10. There. I will give you 10 porn movies. You can watch them all in fast.
Why are you fast forwarding softcore porn and having porn movies at home? That's why you're fast forwarding to get to the hardcore.
Did you fast forward through the scenes in But I'm a Cheerleader with them kissing in the car?
No, I did not. I watched the whole thing.
You felt very uncomfortable.
Okay. You watch it on still the
floor. Still felt uncomfortable, but it was just like, I think it was because it's Uma Thurman and Robert De Niro. And I've seen them when they were older, and I'm going, I can't picture this.
But this is 23-year-old Uma Thurman.
It's a 27-year-old movie also. 21 years old. No.
But it's like a time capsule. She's 23 at this time.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Okay.
Next.
Yeah.
Doug, you want to have anything to add on this one?
Please say no.
I was really happy to see Richard Belzer in a small scene, but
he was there.
Yeah. I like this movie. I originally saw it maybe 20 years ago. I just revisited it again this morning, so it's fresh in my mind. I didn't hate it. I thought I would not like it because I was thinking Uma Thurman's character wouldn't have like any authority or anything like that. I felt she kind of held her own in this movie. She wasn't just a prize to be won. She had her own arc. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I'd seen it decades ago, and I didn't remember it other than the oddness of De Niro as the hero slash cop photographer and Bill Murray against type as a mafia guy. More of a dramatic role for Bill Murray, and I thought he was fantastic in this movie. And De Niro, as a man in his early 50s, this is a 27-year-old movie about a man in his early 50s who doesn't know where he's going, right? He wanted to be a photographer, and now he takes pictures of corpses and tries to make the best of it. And he's thrown into this situation where this woman is sent to his apartment to take care of an accidental burn or something, or a cut.
Yep.
Yeah, a coffee burn.
And I don't know what Bill Murray was thinking. Was he thinking that she would just take care of the burn, or was he hoping that she would he would fall for her and then he could have leverage over a guy that worked in the police? I think that's where it was going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a regular cop then. He was like a cop photographer.
He was a friend on the police force. Yeah.
Okay. But I think we see that he has friends. I agree with Kevin. I mean, look at the end scene where they have the fight scene, all the cops show up.
Yeah.
So De Niro has strings to pull.
Yeah. He definitely is a regular cop, but he also takes was he even taking crime scene photos, or was he just taking pictures of the crowds?
He did both.
Yeah.
Okay. You never see that part again. That was only once or twice I ever saw him doing that, and the rest of the time, it never came up again.
Well, his whole apartment was like a gallery full of pictures of crime scenes, and they make reference to it on a regular basis.
Okay,
Bill Murray comes over and looks at them, and is the what was the guy, the bodyguard? I can't remember that actor's name. He said,
"Oh, like hey, Star."
There's Bobby's assassination. Look at how good he looks there.
Yeah.
Like little bits like that. They were funny. Like it was very well written. And, but I'm not sure what the purpose was other than to show that, just that love could happen, I guess, out of strange places.
I think it's just love. Pretty Woman with gangsters in a way.
Kind of. But I think Uma does. Anything that happens with Uma and her relationship with Robert De Niro is her choice.
Yeah.
Like she didn't have to sleep with him. He wasn't trying to sleep with her. It just kind of happened organically as they were befriended, like as they were hanging out with each other, they ended up having this relationship. Now again, maybe she was hoping that he would fight for her and want to buy out the contract. Maybe that was part of it. I don't know, but I did find it to be fascinating, but not super compelling, you know? So it's a decent film with great performances, but it definitely falls into something that could be forgettable.
Well, the fight at the end wasn't the original ending I read.
What? What's the original then?
It originally ended with Bill Murray's Frank character winning, just getting her back and everything. And test audiences didn't like that. Mm-hmm. So they had to reshoot the ending with the fight where De Niro wins. But because both De Niro and Bill Murray had contracts with other films, Bill Murray's was Groundhog Day, they had to wait a year to go back and do the filming again. So in between both De Niro and Bill Murray filmed other movies and then came back and reshot the ending.
I thought Murray should have won this. I really would have been happier that way.
It's probably more realistic that would happen, but audiences did not want that.
Fair.
Because they don't know what they want.
I'll just do a quick one on this one. I love the first hour of it. I really enjoyed watching Bill Murray and De Niro kind of switch their typecasts. Mm-hmm. Just Murray playing the gangster and then De Niro playing the more timid cop. I thought that was interesting. I love Uma Thurman here. Sex scenes are kind of awkward at times, but just the way they were filmed. But no, it was good. Yeah, I love the first hour. Last half hour is kind of flat. I think I just found the pacing awkward of him giving him the Murray saying, okay, 40 grand and you can keep her. Or she is released. I just thought that pacing was kind of awkward and kind of quick. But yeah, I enjoyed it overall. Just not super passionate about it.
Before we go, I have to ask, did anybody buy anything?
Yes.
Did you buy
Breach and Colors Out of Space, and I actually watched four episodes of Stargirl that I had bought before, so I actually watched that.
Well,
nice.
That's a good show.
Todd, while leaving the house to get your shot, did you stop anywhere to buy something? Maybe an ice cream?
I had this delivered, but it's Elevator to the Gallows.
Ooh. I've never
did
seen
you
that.
Take advantage of Criterion. The Criterion 50% off sale?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. Blu-ray or DVD?
Blu-ray.
Good.
Yes.
I did not buy any movies, unfortunately, this time.
What?
I'm shocked.
How many hot toys?
Movies. I did not buy any hot toys either in the last period. Although I did get a cover, an original art cover.
Detective cover?
The Detective Comics cover, yes.
I'm upset with you. I wanted that, but I didn't think you were not going to buy it.
I've worked out an arrangement for that. So, but yeah, that was a hell of a find.
Yeah.
So I saw went it. Into a storage unit that had been, no one had been in 10 years. And so the first thing I picked up was the Norm Breyfogle cover to Detective Comics 590.
Ooh.
Which is,
wow, that's,
yeah. And it's on my Facebook. So if you know, I don't know. All you guys, I think, are on Facebook. And,
say, I don't know.
Although I don't know if Bob's befriended me again or not, because you cut me off at one point. So
why'd you go and cut me off?
So that's all right.
Somebody that I used to know.
Yeah. He got it. You
somebody.
Got it. Somebody. Now, what happened to them? The people who sang that song.
Gote, that was it.
Somebody would be used to know. Really,
Gote's one song.
That was
so.
It.
Before we go, we got to pimp out a couple things. Everybody, please leave us some feedback on iTunes. Please listen to extra feature interviews. Some great stuff coming up. Thank you for Kevin for posting everything. And if they make it.
We have a new show too, right? You haven't talked about our new shows.
Oh, yes. We have one new show that I know of. Do we have another one? No.
You do the extra features interviews.
I always do the extra features. Yeah, we have a new show. This Blonde Could Talk About Anything. And she does. So check that out, too. I just dropped my pen. Life goes on. And if they make it.
Bob fast forwards through it.
I force you to watch it. Yeah, just the sex scenes.
Okay.
So hold on before
I'm keeping it on.
You just said you felt awkward during it. Nobody said anything.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't fast forward it
because yeah. I. Oh gosh,
that's okay. I watched it in slow motion, so I made up for it.
Yeah.
All right.
Hmm.
Yeah. If I am allowed to finish that thought, I didn't hear anybody condemn you for feeling awkward with it.
Right, it's Uma Thurman. He's not fast forwarding.
No, I just thought it was filmed awkwardly.
I tell you, I did not find it awkward to look at Uma Thurman naked.
Oh, that wasn't the awkward part. It was more
was
like
nothing awkward.
It was more like
that.
De Niro on top going.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I just thought it was filmed awkwardly. As
it was definitely like a male fantasy of an older man, younger woman.
Yeah, I liked her part. I mean, I liked her side of things, but the De Niro on top is awkward. Okay, are we good to uncomfortably end it now?
Yes.